One second. Okay, page 1088. Parshas Nitzavim, 1088. We discussed a little bit of Pasuk Yud Ches. We didn't finish Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, he's saying that, you know, you saw what happened in Egypt and they worshipped idols and you saw all the miracles. And if you have, then the Pasuk is saying, if there's any person amongst you or family that turns away from Hashem and serves gods of divination, maybe there's a root flourishing with gall and wormwood, which basically, as Mepharshim say, means that you can't have the root. You know, if the root is no good, that's the biggest problem, because the root is the life and the shadish and the source of everything. So he says, V'haya b'shamay is divrei Allah azeis, and it'll be when the person hears the words of this oath, of this vow, v'izbarech b'vavay, and he will bless himself in his heart saying, Shalom yi ali, peace will be with me. In other words, he says, even though I'm not serving God, but, you know, I'm happy, it's good. Ki b'shridus li b'elech, I will go with this, the whatever my heart wants, sees fit. L'man sveitzer ovis atzmeya, thereby adding the water upon the thirsty. Okay, now here there's a number of explanations what this means. Some, what? 1088, Pasuk, just four lines in the top of the page. 1088. So he says like this. Some of Farshim learn, like Rashi explains, that it means accidental sins are called the Rava, and the Tzmeah means the intentional sins. Why? Because a person who does accidental sins is not having the lust and the desire to sin. He's accidentally sinning. So it's like watered down sin. On the other hand, though, a person who's very thirsty for sin, if they're very, very thirsty for sin, that means they're doing it intentional. So he's saying, Leman Sveitzer Ovis Atzmeh, therefore adding the water upon the thirsty, which means that sometimes Hashem will consider even the accidental sins as if they're intentional sins, which obviously make it much worse. But the Ramban, one second, brings down the Ramban, says like this. What does it mean when the Torah says, added water upon the thirsty? He says like this. When a person needs, and this is what we learned many times, a person, God forbid, who's addicted to something, once they become addicted, they lose control over it. They're not in control anymore. So why are they guilty? What was their sin? Their sin was allowing themselves to become addicted to something while they still had control. Like we said, some of Farshim learn that what does it mean Hashem hardened Paro's heart? Was because Paro, before he had the ability to control himself, he chose not to. So Hashem said, okay, now you're going to be punished, that your heart's going to be hardened. The person who's addicted to sin, here he's talking about addiction to sin, before they became addicted to sin, they had the ability to control themselves and not to sin. Because then they chose not to, so they're adding insult to injury, meaning now they're making it much worse, because now they got themselves to a point they can't even control themselves. Meaning, that means a person falls so low that we are totally not in control of them, of ourselves. The Gemara says, Sadikim, Libam Beshusam, their heart is in their control. Rishoyim, Heim Beshus Libam, the Gemara says. They are in the Rishus, they are under the jurisdiction of their heart. Which means they can no control over themselves. And he says, this is what's going to happen to this person. So therefore, what does Hashem say in the next passage? We're up to now. Hashem will not be willing to forgive him. Because the person does it intentionally. He's not interested in stopping himself from sinning. He's doing all these terrible things. Because then Hashem's anger and jealousy will smoke against that man. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. All the curses of the vows that he made before will come down upon him. Hashem will erase his name from the heavens. from underneath the heaven. Page 1088. What it means like this. The Pasuk is saying, Hashem gets angry when people, and again, by Hashem anger, doesn't mean Hashem has an attribute of anger, because Hashem is not a person, and this, the same thing he says, his jealousy. Okay? They bring down a famous Gemara about jealousy, that the, we mentioned it briefly last time, and Epictetus once asked Ram Gamliel, he says, why is your God Kel Kanahu, why is he so jealous of people worshipping idols? What does he care? What does he care that people are worshipping idols? So the Gemara says, relax. So the Gemara says, he says like this, that Ram Gamliel answered him, he gave an analogy, we mentioned this not long ago, of a guy divorced his wife, but for another wife who's more beautiful, smarter, better. So even though the woman gets very angry, yeah, but she can understand why he did it. But if a guy is going to divorce his wife for somebody uglier, stupider, much, no comparison at all, that's what makes the guy angry. This is what Ram Gamliel answered the guy. So when you say Kel Kana, it doesn't mean, God forbid, that Hashem has jealousy that he can't, he doesn't do this. So he says, what does it mean? It means like this. When Jews drop Hashem instead of serving God, and instead they go worship sticks and stones and idols, Hashem gets angry at the person, as we're going to learn in a few psukim, in a few psukim what it's going to say, that what gets Hashem angry is that they're going to serve other gods. And he says, this is what you're leaving me for? That's what makes Hashem angry. And that's why Hashem in this case says, I will not forgive the person. He says like this, even though all Jews are responsible one for another, okay? So he says, why do I care of the punishment? Because everybody's going to get punishment. If all Jews are responsible one for another, so everybody gets punished for the sins of everybody else. So he says, that's only for Jews that keep Torah, then every Jew is responsible for another Jew. So one Jew, he gets punished because of another Jew. But a Jew who drops Torah completely, Hashem says, I'm not going to punish everybody because of you, because you're not in the fold anymore. You're not keeping any of Torah mitzvahs. We're not talking about, by the way, what's called Tinik Shenishba. We're not talking about children, the way the Gemara explains it. Tinik Shenishba literally means a kid that was captured, like the Cantonists in Russia. You know, a kid was captured, kidnapped by the Goyim when they were 5 years old, and they were raised as non-Jewish people their whole life, and then, you know, they're 25 years old, they're not keeping mitzvahs. You can't say that they're called the desecrator of Shabbos. You can't say that there's somebody getting got angry. They, you know, it's not their fault. They never learned about it. Here we're talking about people that saw all the miracles, the miracles of going out of Egypt, Kriyas Yamsev, all the miracles, they saw the Torah given, they saw the man 40 years in the desert, they saw all the miracles in the Torah, and they're rebelling against Hashem, say, I don't care about him, I want to do what I want to do. Wow. Go back there. So they want to do what they want to do, so Hashem says, you know what, I'm not going to forgive you, I'm not going to make anybody else responsible for what you're doing, because you're not part of the nation. If you'd be part of the nation, you have unity with the rest of the nation, then everybody is responsible for one another. But you left the fold, and that's it. I'm not going to do it. And that's why it says, by the way, Haksuva Basefer Hazdeh, it's speaking singular. Umoch Hashem Eshmoi, even though in B'chukai say all the curses were said plural, but over here, we learned already, they're responsible one for another. But Hashem's saying, a person who intentionally turns away and who starts worshipping other idols, Hashem said, you know what? You're out. I have nothing to... It's like Rashi says, in last week's parsha, Rashi says, a mashal A father carried his son through the desert, and everything he wanted he gave him, and everything. And then, one second, and then the father's holding the son, yeah, after he took care of him completely, and the son sees a friend of the father, and he says, "Did you see my father anywhere?" So the father says, "You know what? If that's what you want," he put him down, and right away the dog came and bit him. So Rashi said, "By Amalek," at the end of last week, when we just read the Shabbos, yeah, the Hashem took care of the Jews. All of a sudden, they say, "Where's God?"
What? Why would they do that? I have a question. How is it possible?
The question is on the people that are doing it. Trying to ask them.
Now, at that time, when they saw the light. And they were given
and they still rebelled.
Therefore,
the simple meaning of the Mishnah Sanhedrin is that the generation of the desert, has no share in the world to come. According to Kabbalah, it's a whole different story. But according to the simple meaning, they have no chelek in Olam Haba, because they saw all the miracles, they tested God 10 times, they still worshipped idols, they still did everything they wanted to do.
But we are a reincarnation of those souls. Are we not? So are you not saying that we were all there?
We're all there, they were cleansed.
How could that be a true story?
What?
Majority of them were Egyptians, right?
Well, here he's talking about the Jews, the 600,000 Jews, plus the men and the women. It's about 2 million Jews. That's besides the Egyptians that went out. They're not part of this whole thing. They never really, became proper Jews, and they weren't part of it. Okay, v'yivdilei Hashem l'ra, and Hashem will set him aside for evil, mikol shifte Yisrael, from all the tribes of the Jews, k'chol olei sabris, as all the, again, the imprecations, the oaths of the aksuva b'sefer teira zeh, which is written in the sefer teira. Okay, so Hashem is eventually going to erase his name. He says Hashem will erase his name. Why? Okay, so he says like this. A person's name, and this is what he brings down at the bottom here in this Chumash, from the Arachayim HaKadosh, a remarkable concept. What does it mean Hashem will erase his name? The name of a person is a divinely inspired gift from God. We know according to Halacha, according to Kabbalah, definitely, according to Kabbalah, what it says in the Torah, that Adam Rishon gave names to all the animals. Right at the beginning of Chumash, it says, Adam Rishon gave names to all the animals. So the Medrash says on that, that the angels came to God, after Adam Rishon was created, the angels came to Hashem, and they said, "Who is this? Who's this guy? The new kid on the block." So Hashem said to them, this is what the Medrash says, "Chachmasei gudela michachmaschem. His brilliance is smarter than yours." So he said, they said, they challenged Hashem, let's see, where is Adam Rishon's brilliance smarter than ours? So Hashem brought all the animals in front of the angels and said, "Give him names." And they couldn't. He brought the animals in front of Adam Rishon. So the Medrash says, Adam Rishon said like this, "Lazeh noa likri sus, lazeh noa likri chamor. For this one it's good, nice to call sus, chamor, gomel." Adam Rishon gave all the names to the animals. So when the Malachim heard that, they backed off and he said, "Okay, you're right, he's smarter than us." So it says, we learned many times, what's the big deal? Everybody gives names to their dogs, cows. I mean, who doesn't give names? Everybody's a big deal giving names.
But it's after so the answer, already gave names.
Huh?
But it's after everybody else gave already
names. No, people, first of all, the names people give today to their kids are original names. Nobody even, Moshe Rabbeinu never heard of them. So what's the big deal? So it says, the name of a person, or the Torah name of an object, is the lifeline from Hashem to that particular object. Right. In other words, if a horse is called Sus, so the lifeline of life from Hashem to the horse goes through the letters Samach, Vav, Samach, that spells Sus. Chamor was Ches, Mem, Vav, Resh, Gomel, Gimel, Mem, Lamed, whatever it is, those letters in Torah, in the Lashon Kodesh, is the lifeline to those particular creatures. It says in Sfarim that when parents name a baby, it's actually a prophecy given to them by God what to name the baby. So if somebody has a name, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, it's not stam a name. It's a prophecy Hashem gives to the parents. And therefore, we mentioned this many times, halachically and definitely Kabbalistically, nobody else but the parents are allowed to mix into the name. Not the mothers-in-law, not the cousins and uncles and all the people that mix into the what everybody should name their baby. In fact, we mentioned many times that when new parents of newborns asked the Rebbe what they should name the baby, the Rebbe answered, it's a prophecy given to you, it's none of my business. You get the prophecy from God, the parents get the prophecy from God, and this is what you need to name the baby. At the bris, for a boy, give a name to the baby girl at the Torah reading. This is a prophecy given straight from the parent, from Hashem to the parents. Why? Because that's the lifeline of the person. Okay? So now, what it says like this, Hashem, person's name, the Aruch Haim explains like this, is heavenly origin because Hashem gives you the name in your head. The name symbolizes, what does the name symbolize? The power that the person has of godliness when he behaves properly.
Wow.
But when you don't behave properly, that godliness, what it means, God will erase his name. What do you mean erase his name? He'll still have a name. What the pasuk means is the holiness of the name, which God gives in the naming of the person, that godliness will leave it. And by the way, you should know, according to Kabbalah, two people that have the same names, one Moshe, there's something connecting between the two of them.
Yeah.
All Avrams are connected. Yitzchak, yeah, you name the names?
Why do you have two names? Abraham and Moshe. You just added
me. So then, you're all connected because there's a certain, you can have, by the way, one Moshe a Tzaddik, one Moshe a Rasha, but there is, in the lifeline of the Neshama, there is one connection. And that's what it means. God will erase his name from underneath the heaven, meaning the divinely power that the person has will be erased. Hashem will set him aside for evil. And like we said, all these promises which are written in the Sefer. And the next generation will say, the last generation, B'neichem asher yakumu mi'achareichem, the children who will arise after you. V'anochri and the foreigner, asher yavei me'eretz rechoka, that will come from the distant land. So in other words, not your generation. The later generations will see. V'ro es makei so'aretz ahiv es tachlu'el. They will see the plagues that Hashem instills in the land, and the illnesses, asher chila Hashem ba, that God put into it. Meaning, what are they going? The nations of the earth are going to see what Hashem is actually doing to the people, the evil that now the land has because of their sins. And it says like this: Gafris for Melech, sulfur and salt, Sreifa cholarza, conflagration, meaning burn down the whole land. Leisizara v'leisatzmiach, the earth will not be sown; it will not sprout. V'leyale b'koleisin, no grass will rise upon it. Like the Mapechas Admot Sudeim Vameirim. The Mepharshim say like this, interesting, sulfur and salt are two opposites. Salt doesn't burn, and sulfur catches with matches, are made from sulfur. Right, they catch on fire very, very easily. Gafris v'melach, the Mepharshim say, he says like this, Gafris, the sulfur burns right away. The melech, the salt, doesn't. And therefore, that is going to be the extremes.
Hashem did that in Sodom and Gomorrah.
He did in Sodom and Gomorrah because they didn't behave at all. Okay? But, we'll soon see what the Goyim are going to ask. But he says, the earth will be created, what's going to happen to the land? Nothing will grow, nothing will sprout, nothing. Hashem is going to destroy the land. What goes on, and this is another unique aspect in Yiddishkeit, what goes on in the land we live on is based on the behavior of the people. If you ask a question, because people are evil, what does this have to do with the ground? Why can't the earth produce because the people are bad? The earth is not bad. What did the earth do? But when people sin, the physical earth becomes affected by their sin. It becomes corrupt. And because it becomes corrupt, God's blessing of growth and vegetation and all that doesn't exist. But that's all caused by the people. Which means, in other words, people have the ability not only to affect people, but they have the ability to affect the entire world around them. The atmosphere is affected by what we do. Therefore, when the previous Rebbe came to America, he said, you walk in the street, he said, the earth, the atmosphere in America, Europe, you know, was holy and all that. America was far from holy at that time. He said, the atmosphere is impure. You need to purify the air. How do you purify the air? When you walk in the street, you say words of Torah, words of Tehillim, words of whatever it is. That's the purification of the air. And then the air becomes holy. When a person, it says, Evan Mikir Yazik, it says, there's a pasuk when Mashiach comes, the stones from the wall are going to scream out. So it says when Mashiach comes, when a person walks on the stones, so if the person's speaking Torah or doing something good, the stone says, I don't care. But when you walk on the stone and you're not learning, you're not doing anything good, the stone says, that's what it means, stone from the wall will scream out. He says, why, who gives you the right to walk on me? What makes you better than me? I'm not learning, you're not learning. Why are you better than the stone that you have a right to walk on me? So this is all the power. No, but it shows an unbelievable power that a person has to affect not only the person, not only all of mankind, but even the physical, inanimate, plant, animal, and human. It affects it all. And that's what the Pasuk is saying over here. You're going to, all this, Gafriz and Melech, all these things that are destroying, and he says like this, he brings down, the Mamleh brings down, nothing stands in the way of fire more than salt, and there's nothing as, that gets consumed and in fire as sulfur. So he says like this, if you're clean, you can stand before all the fires of the world. And if you're not keeping, then you're going to burn like sulfur.
Oh God.
So that's what the Torah is saying, Gafir is the Melech, it's your choice to be like sulfur, to burn right away, or if you're good, you can be like salt. What's salt, by the way? Salt is a preservative. Salt is not a food, but it preserves food. What's the preservation of the Jewish people? Torah. And therefore, melach is the same letters as the word lechem, bread, melach, lechem, which Torah is likened to lechem, to bread, because that is the existence of the Torah. So the Pasuk saying over here, Gafriz v'melach sreifa chalartza, you have a choice. It's up to you to be sulfur. If you're bad, you're going to burn right away. Or you can be salt, a preservative that stops fire. No, salt is good.
Salt is good, but not the other.
Okay. Then he says like this. Kamaper is going to be like the middle of Chabez. Like the destruction, overturning of Sdeim and Meira Admo Tzvoyim, these four cities. Asher Hofach Hashem, that Hashem turned over, Be'ape Uve Chamosi, in his anger and his great anger. Wrathfulness and great anger. One is just even worse than the next. Okay, so it says, Hashem gets angry because he loves the Yidden. Now, what is it? There's another interesting thing the Mefarshim point out over here. You know, to elaborate on this a little bit, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. He davened 515 tefillahs that Hashem should let him into Israel. Hashem still said no. Where's Hashem's mercy, at least? Moshe Rabbeinu davened so much. Let the guy in already. He's dying to get in. Let him go. So he says, we learned many times the answer, but it's a very profound answer. Hashem said, if I let Moshe Rabbeinu into Israel, it's not going to be good for the Jews. Why? The Medrash says, anything Moshe Rabbeinu made can never be destroyed. Maisa Yedei Moshe Nitzchi. The Mishkan was never destroyed. It's buried somewhere, nobody knows where. The Mishkan was not destroyed that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Anything Moshe Rabbeinu made was eternal. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have taken the Jews into Israel, Mashiach would have come, Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the temple. Then when the Jews sinned, God wouldn't be able to destroy the temple because that Moshe Rabbeinu made. So then he would have to destroy the Jews. Because it's either the building or the Jews when God gets angry. So he says, well, Hashem said, you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu is not going into Israel. Somebody else is going to build the temple. It can get destroyed. So when you get angry at the Jews, I'm going to let it out at the temple. Okay? Or as what the Pasuk is alluding to here, Hashem says, I get angry at the Jews, I'm going to turn over the country of like Sodom and Amorah. I'm not going to kill the Jews. I'm going to destroy the land like I destroyed Sodom and Amorah. Hashem says, and this shows an unbelievable love of Hashem to the Jews. He says, you could be the worst people on earth. I will not destroy you. I will only destroy the land. Not you. And that's what he says. But what did he do? I'm going to destroy the land. Hashem destroyed it based because of the land. He didn't destroy the people. By Zidoyim attack, he killed all the people too. But not when it comes to the Jews. Okay, so now the Pasuk says like this. So now when this happens, all the nations of the world are going to say, why did God do this to this land? For what reason did Hashem do it? What is the great wrathfulness and great anger that Hashem has? Okay? In meaning like this. Why did Hashem, the Goyim are going to say, why is Hashem so angry at the Jews? And it says, and by the way, it says over here an interesting thing. I think it's the Baal HaTorim that says, Asher Yokumu Me'achreichem, the people dug up, so the three words, begins with an Aleph, a Yud, and a Mem, stands for Achav, Yeravam, and Menashe. These were the three people, the three wicked kings of the Jewish people. Achav, Yeravam, and Menashe. So it says, who was he referring to? These Jewish leaders, Achav, Menashe, and Yeravam and Menashe, they got all the Jews to go worship idols. And that's what Hashem is referring to. And this, you know, everybody's going to see. And they're going to say, why should God punish? What is their question? Commentaries explain like this. Why is God letting it out of the Jews? The non-Jews also worship idols. All the idol worshippers worshiped idols. Why is God letting his anger out only at the Jews for worshiping idols if everybody else is worshiping idols and God doesn't let out his anger at them? That's what they're going to ask. All the nations of the world are asking, what's the story? So what does Hashem answer? And this is a very unique pasuk. Okay? They're going to say like this. Because they forsook the covenant of Hashem, the God of their fathers, that he made the covenant with them. When he took them out of Egypt, and what did they do? The next pasuk says they went and worshipped other gods. So the nations are going to ask, so he says like this, what's the answer to the nations? God never made a covenant with the nations. He never made a covenant with the nations. So therefore, when they transgress the covenant, they worship idols, you know, they're doing a sin, it's one of the seven Noahide laws, but they're still not going against Hashem himself, because he never made a covenant with them. The Jews who have this covenant with Hashem, that's what gets God angry. And that's the worst thing of it. Okay? Meaning like this. What is God hates, and this we see a few times in Chumash, God doesn't like what's called a kfui teiva. Kfui teiva means a person doesn't appreciate the good you do for them. The whole mitzvah bikurim, we learned at the beginning of Parshas Kisavei, that a person should not be not, what's called, you shouldn't be a kfui teiva. Kfui teiva means basically to deny the good that somebody does for you. What God can't stand, believe it or not, it's a very interesting concept if you think about it. Hashem can't stand a person who's not a mensch, who's not a decent person. If you think about it, the Mabul, the flood, God destroyed the world because they stole. The tower, the Babylonian tower, the Migdol Bavel, Dor HaFlaga, Hashem did not destroy. Even though they went to fight God, it says he wanted to make a war against God, which seemingly is worse than stealing. But Hashem said, the generation of the Dor HaFlaga, Dor Vayisa Cholor Safa Achas Udvorim Achodim. They were all united. When you're united, meaning you're a mensch, God says, I'm not going to destroy you. You steal, you're not a mensch, then God says, I'm going to destroy you. What happens over here? Hashem says, what I can't stand is not that you worship idols per se. Because the non-Jews also worship idols, and God says, you know what? Let it be. I mean, it's against their, they're not allowed to, but okay. But Jews that Hashem did so much for, and he made the covenant with them, and they, with everything good that Hashem did for them, they still have the chutzpah to, pardon the expression, spit God in the face. Should be a running commentary for me. Spit God in the face and not appreciate anything God did. Hashem says, you know what? That I can't stand. That you're going to get destroyed for. You know, the Mephoshim explain, there's two types of people that sin. There's a person that sins, what's called, there's a mummer lahachis, and a mummer l'teoven. Mummer means a rebellious Jew. You have a rebellious Jew, that's what's called l'teoven. He has enjoyments. In other words, the guy, Hashem says, don't eat not kosher. He says, what do you want me to do? I have nothing personally against God. I just like the tray for food. That's all. You know, yeah, he's supposed to control himself. But he says, God, I have nothing against you. I love you. But you know what? I like this stuff too much. I just can't stop it. That's one type of evil. Then you have what's called a murmur lahachis. He does it just to spite God. He doesn't even enjoy what he's doing. He doesn't even enjoy the non-kosher food. He's doing it lahachis. Lahachis means to get God angry. That person, Hashem says, that I can't tolerate. You know, you tell me you sin, listen, I have a big yetzer hara, you know, I want to eat treif and do something I'm not allowed to. God says, okay, you're wrong, you're going to get punished for it. But you know what? I get it. I get it. You know? So you're going to have to be cleansed for it. You're going to have to be punished for it. But to stam, go against me. Like, in other words, look, Hashem did all these miracles, and then he says, and he made a covenant with them, and then the Jews, for no reason at all, go and worship other gods. So Hashem said, you know what? That's what he's going to answer to the guy. You know why God punished the Jews and doesn't punish the idols for the same things? He said, the idol worshippers, because they never had a covenant with me. I never did things for them. Out of the ordinary, miraculous things. And that's what he says. And they went, we said, by the way, Elokim Achedim, how does he define it? Other gods. Oh no, he says here, even gods of others. Because Rashi says in Chumash many times, Elokim Achedim, when the Torah says don't have other gods, that simply would mean Elokim Achedim means other gods. It can't be, because by definition they can't be gods. They're a stone, they're a stick. What it means, Elokim Achedim, it means others, Achedim, make them gods. But they're not other gods. It's a wrong translation. Even in the English here, it also says the expression, gods of others. It's not other gods, because by definition, there's only one God. Only Hashem. All the other idols is what people make them gods, not that they're really gods. So he says like this, they were v'yishtachvulem alukim ashelo yedom, gods that they knew, didn't even know, v'leicholak lehem, he did not a proportion to them, meaning like this, Rashi says, and a remarkable concept. Rashi says, le'nitnam lechelkom, God never gave Jews these other gods. What are these other gods? If we say Akum, they worship the constellations, they worship the stars, they worship all these types of things. All the Goyim have their own angel that's in charge of them. Yaakov Avinu fought, the Malach that Yaakov Avinu fought, Rashi says was Sar Shal Esav, the Malach of Esav. When it says, in the Medrash, the famous Medrash, Hashem says, the angel said, the Jews are worshipping idols, the Egyptians are worshipping idols, why are you saving the Jews and drowning the Egyptians? So who's talking? The angel, the Malach, the angel, the constellation, that's in charge of the nation. So every nation has its constellation from Hashem. But it's not direct hashpa. It's not direct sustenance straight from God to the nations. It goes through the constellations. They have their own rights, their own abilities, their own choice to give or not to give. But by Hashem, it says Hashem loichalak lehem. Hashem didn't give the Jews these constellations. Jews are straight connected to Hashem. We had no intermediaries, no angels, no Sar of Esav, there's no Sar of the Eden. The Jews have direct connection straight from Hashem. And therefore Hashem says, why in the world, in fact, we learned this in other classes about in the Maimonim, there's idol worshipping that a non-Jew is obligated to keep. They're not allowed to worship idols. But by a Jew, it goes something else. It goes deeper. There's something called shituf, partnership. According to most opinions, not the Rambam, but according to most other opinions, a non-Jew is allowed to believe in shituf. And I'll tell you what it is in a second. A Jew is not allowed to believe in shituf. A Jew has to believe their hashpa comes straight from God to nobody else. If you remember a while ago, I think we discussed this even in this class. If somebody gives you a ride in the car, right, they take you somewhere, but they give you a ride. When you get out of the car, you don't say thank you to the car. Unless it's a really expensive car, maybe. But normal people don't say thank you to the car, even though the car was the thing that brought you there. If somebody cuts you a piece of cake with a knife, you don't say thank you to the knife. Like, you just don't. Right? There's a pasuk that says, Hayispoer agarzen. Are you gonna praise the axe? You don't praise the axe. When a guy chops down a tree with an axe, you don't say thank you to the axe. Why? Why not? The axe chopped down the tree, the car brought you, the knife cut the cake, and a million other examples. Why don't you? Okay. Say thank you to the person and to the knife and to the car. Why not? Because thank you can only be said by somebody that had a choice to do it or not to do it. And you're saying thank you that they chose to do it. The person could have cut me a piece of cake, who could have not cut me a piece of cake. So I say thank you for choosing to cut me a piece of cake, or giving me a ride, or opening the door, no matter what the story is, right? You say thank you to a person that had the ability to do or not to do. The Gemara says, Gimel Shutfim Ba'adam. Gemara Nida says, there's three partners in the creation of a person. Father, mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the neshama. Yeah? What does that mean? In order for a baby to be born, you have father and mother, and the neshama comes from Hashem. The body comes from the parents, the neshama comes from Hashem. It's self-understood, of the three partners, who is the most important? Hashem. Otherwise it's, God forbid, a stillborn. Right? The Hashem is giving the neshama. So why are parents called partners? Shutfim partners by definition means you have a say in the matter. Because the parents had the choice to have you or not to have you. Because they had the choice to have you or not to have you, so therefore, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, kabed es avicha v'simecha. You have to thank them by honoring them and fearing them and having awe for them. Why? Because they had the choice to have you or not to have you. Goyim, according to the halacha, even though there's an argument in halacha, it's a drama in other opinions, but the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that a non-Jew is allowed to believe in shituf. What does it mean, allowed to believe in shituf? He has to know God is God, and everything comes from Hashem, but he's also allowed to believe, a non-Jew is also allowed to believe, that these angels, these constellations, these other things, also have a say in the matter, and therefore I can honor them also. Not instead of God, but in addition, I can also honor them as a partner. What's called shituf, a partnership with Hashem. A Jew is not allowed to believe in that at all. It's, for a Jew, it's idol worshipping. And therefore, the whole argument in halacha is, according to all opinions, Muslims are not idol worshippers. Because they believe in God, Muhammad is just a prophet. In Christianity, we have a trinity. So the Rambam holds, for a goy, that's Aveda Zara. Even for a goy, he's not allowed to believe in Christianity. Because your trinity means there's somebody besides God. And for a Jew, for sure, it's Aveda Zara. But according to the Rambam, even for a goy, Christianity is Aveda Zara. Because according to the Rambam, a goy cannot believe in Shituf. Also. The Allah is not like the Rambam. Because the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, that Hashem Echad, mean nobody else. So the halach is, only a Jew is obligated in this mitzvah of shituf, and a non-Jew is allowed to believe in it. So therefore, like this, the goyim have mazalas, the angels, the constellations that dictate what they get, and what it all comes from Hashem, but they have the free choice, so to speak. Like the parents, they have the free choice, but they can do that to constellations. A Jew is not allowed to believe. That's what the Pasuk here says. Asher lecholak lehem. V'lecholak lehem, Hashem didn't give anything but God himself straight to the Jewish people. As far as the Jew is concerned, all the angels, all the constellations, all this stuff is only like the axe in the hand of the chopper, the knife in the hand of the cutter, the car in the hand of the driver. That there is, what? One second. That's why the Gemara says, Ein mazel Yisro. Ein mazel Yisro means there is no mazel for the Jew.
No.
That's what Ein mazel Yisro means. There is no mazel for the Jew. So the question is, why do we say Mazel Tov? Right? You say Mazel Tov, you should have a good Mazel, that's what it means. But if we're not under Mazel, then why are we saying Mazel Tov? The answer is, besides the fact that Chassidus explains, that when it says, Ein Mazel Yisrael, and there's no Mazel for the Jew, it actually means, Ayin Mazel Yisrael. The level of ayin I'll explain in a second what that means, is the mazel for the Jew. What's ayin? What's ayin? So in davening in Tillim, Shabbos morning, we say like this. Shir la'malais. Esa, this is the simple meaning of the pasuk. Esa ein el ahorim. I lift up my eyes to this, to the mountains. Me ayin yavei ezvi. From where will my salvation come? That's the simple meaning. And the answer in the next pasuk is, Ezri me'im Hashem, may help comes from God who made heaven and earth. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. The Jew asks a question, David HaMelech and Tillim, asks a question, from where does my salvation come? And Hashem says, it comes from God. Okay? Chassidus reads the pasuk a little bit different. Esa'eni al harim, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. It's not a question, it's a statement. Me'ayin, from the level of ayin, yavei ezri, comes my help. Not me'ayin, from where is a question. It's a statement. Me'ayin, from the level of ayin, yavei ezri, will my help and salvation come. What does that mean? The pasuk says, hachochma ma'ayin timatze. Chochma comes from the level of ayin. That's what the pasuk says. Whatever it comes. Whatever the pasuk is. Chochma ma'ayin timatze. Chochma comes from the level of ayin. What does that mean? The world is created yesh mi'ayin. Right? What is ayin? Ayin is nothingness, complete bittul, nullification to Hashem. Chachma is the first of the 10 levels, right? The world begins in Chachma. Bereish is Bar Elokim. The 10 utterances correspond with the 10 levels of godliness, the 10 spheres. Bereish's Targum says, B'chuchmasa, the level of Chachma. Chachma is the beginning of world. World begins in the level of Chachma. Chachma comes from a level above world. That's the level of Ayin. Ayin means a level of Elokus, which is not confined, limited, finite, restricted by world. Ayin represents the level of godliness, which is infinite, unlimited, unrestricted, unlimited, higher than world. So what does it mean, Ayin Mazel Yisrael? The Jew has his straight from the level of Ayin, which is Yashmi Ayin, the level of God himself. Comments in the peanut gallery. So, you have the Hashpa, the sustenance of all other nations, comes through the Mazales. The sustenance of the Jews comes straight from God. And that's what the Pasuk says. Why is God angrier at the Jews than at all nations of the world? And the nations say, what is God doing to the land of Israel and to the nation when we do it, we are just as bad as they are? So the Pasuk says, because they have this covenant with God, everything Hashem did for them. They went and they worshipped other gods and they bowed to them. Gods, asher lo yecholak lem, that God didn't give them any jurisdiction over the Jews. No mazolus, no constellations, no angels. Jews have a direct link with God himself. Nobody else. And he says, this is a nation, this is what you have, and this is what you're dumping me for these nations, for these other gods. You know what? That's it. You're done. God can't stand it. If you think about it from human perspective, rightfully so. Look at everything God did to us. And we're spitting him in the face by sinning and go worship other gods.
But still we are the children of God.
That's what he's saying. I'm only destroying the land. I'm not destroying the Jews. The Jews are still here, believe it or not. That's what the Pasuk is saying. What did he destroy? He destroyed the land won't grow, the land won't sustain. It's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah, yeah? Or Sodom and Amor in biblical terms. That nothing grows. But the nation, the Jews, are still here. With all that said and done, yeah, with all that is said and done, what we did and what we deserve to get, Hashem says, you know what? I love you too much, I'm only destroying the land. I'm only destroying your property, I'm not destroying you.
So that's why Moshe didn't go to Israel.
That's one of the reasons Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Israel, because if he went into Israel and built the base of Mikdash, God would have to destroy the Jews instead of the building. What? No?
I didn't know that.
Well, what?
If Moshe went into...
That's what the Mepharshim say. If Moshe Rabbeinu went into Israel, it would have been Mashiach, because of his greatness. He would have built the base of Mikdash. Anything Moshe Rabbeinu made couldn't be destroyed. So if Hashem gets angry at the Jews, something gotta go. So he would have had to destroy the Jews. Like this, there's an expression Chazal. Kila Chamos is based on the Pasuk. Kila Chamosai al Eitzim Valavonim. God let out his anger on stones and wood. But we're still here. So all these psukim, as that guy over there would say, you're depressing. It's not really depressing. Because what the pasuk, the underlying factor of the whole pasuk is that we're still here. Atam nitzavim ayayim kulchem. We're all here anyway. Why? Because the relationship between God and the Jews is not based on any behavior whatsoever. It's a deeper bond. The parental bond that doesn't matter what behavior is. Okay, Pasuk Chav Zayin, two lines in the end.
It's outside of the Rambam for Christianity, it's not idol worship, it's just they can believe in partnership.
For non-Jew.
Non-Jew.
Yeah. In other words, the bottom line question is, if a non-Jew worships idol, one of the seven Noahic laws is idol worshiping, right? In the time when the Jews controlled the land, right, a non-Jew that lived in Israel, that desecrated one of the seven Noahic laws, anyone, if they stole, they would get killed. And they ate a live limb off an animal, they got killed. You know what I mean? So for the seven Noahic laws, the punishment is death, you know, based on Beis Din, right? Obviously today the courts can't do that, we don't have that jurisdiction. But the question was, if a non-Jew worshipped idols, the Jewish courts would kill them. I mean, if they had witnesses and whatever they needed, right? They would kill them. So the question is, when the courts had the power, you know, hypothetically, would they be able to kill a non-Jew who believed in Christianity or not? Is it considered, for instance, a Muslim, according to Torah law, for a guy, for a Jew, it's idol worshipping, obviously. But for a non-Jew, it's Muslims, it's not idol worshipping. The question is, what's with Christianity? And Rambam holds it is, and most poskim, Rashba, other poskim, and Shulchan Aruch also, says it's not considered idol worshipping for a non-Jew. I mean, for a Jew, anyway, so it's totally not relevant. But this is what God gets angry, and he says, Vayitchim Hashem Yal, the bottom two lines of the page. Vayitchim Hashem Yal Admasam. Hashem removed them from their soil. Ba'af uvechem uveketziv godol. Okay? With anger and wrath, with great fury. Vayashlichem, and he threw them al eretz acheres kiyim hazeh, to another land as this very day. And as Hashem basically says, that's why you go into exile, you go into golus. As Rashi says in other places, Eretz Yisrael, Israel, is a very, like a delicate stomach. Delicate stomach cannot handle coarse food. What happens? It throws up. It vomits. The Pasuk says many times in Chumash, V'leisaki ha'aretz eschem b'tamachem eisa. In Chumash Vayikra, a few times, the Torah says like this, the earth, I'm translating literally, the earth should not vomit you up, no, it's not vomit, b'tam'achem aisa, when you impurify the land. Israel, because it's such a holy land, it can't handle sins, it can't handle coarse Yiddishkeit. It can only handle refined, proper behavior. So when the Jews start worshipping idols, and they start misbehaving, Hashem says, you know what? I'm just going to throw up, throw you guys up and dump you in another land. Because Israel cannot tolerate that type of behavior. That applied, by the way, when the Jews were all in Israel, and there was, you know, even though today Eretz Yisrael is also holy, but it's not the level of Kedusha that it was, you know, when all the Jews were living on it. That's why a lot of biblical laws don't apply today, even in Eretz Yisrael, like Yovel, the Jubilee year, a lot of things, capital punishment, all that, because it doesn't have the Kedusha that it had when all Jews were living there. So basically it's up to the Jews to stay there or not to stay there. They don't behave, they don't stay there. Okay, we're just going to start this pasuk because this pasuk has a lot to talk about. Hanistaris, top of 1090. Hanistaris l'Hashem Elokeinu. The hidden sins are for Hashem. Meaning like this, Rashi says, people are going to say, 1 minute, I didn't sin, what do you want from me? So it says, God knows all the hidden stuff. Who sins, who doesn't sin. Don't worry about it. You didn't sin, you're not going to get punished. So it says, Hashem won't, Adonai Hashem Elokeinu, and therefore God will only punish the ones that actually sinned. Vanigleis lanu v'neinu, and simply it means over here, the revealed sins are for us and our children forever, meaning, if I know somebody else is sinning, it's an open sin, a revealed sin, then like we learned before, we're responsible each from one for another. So the hidden sins that people do in hiding, nobody knows about, Hashem says, don't worry, I'll take care of that. It's not your responsibility. Sins that everybody knows and you're not admonishing them and changing them and making them better, then God says those sins you're going to be responsible for. But there's a lot to talk in this. Fussy, we'll leave it for next time. Rabbi.